Chapter 2. A Long Engagement. After announcing an engagement, the happy pair always made visits to their family and friends. So the next day, Archer went with May and her mother to see old Mrs. Mingott. Archer always enjoyed a visit to her unusual house. Today, he was greatly relieved to find that Countess Olenska was out. The visitors found old Mrs. Mingott in a huge armchair, her white hands swimming on the dark waves of her dress like seabirds. She was happy to hear their news and admired May's engagement ring. "When will the wedding be?" she asked. "As soon as possible," Archer began. "Oh, they shouldn't hurry, Mama," said Mrs. Welland quickly. "Each of them needs time to get to know the other better." "That's stupid," said old Mrs. Mingott. "Everybody in New York has always known everybody." At that moment, the door opened, and Countess Olenska came in, followed by Julius Beaufort.
"Ah, Beaufort, how lovely to see you," said Mrs. Mingott. "You haven't visited for a long time, you know."
"Yes, I'm afraid that I'm always so busy," replied Beaufort. "But I met Countess Ellen in Madison Square, and she allowed me to walk her home."
"I'm hoping that the house will be livelier now that Ellen is here," cried Mrs. Mingott. "Now, Beaufort, tell me everything about your ball."
Archer, May, and Mrs. Welland were forgotten, so Ellen took them out to the hall. While May and her mother were putting on their coats, Archer saw Countess Olenska looking at him with a smile.
"I see that you already know about May and me," he said with an embarrassed laugh.
"She wanted me to tell you last night at the opera, but I couldn't, not in that crowd."
"I understand," the Countess replied, "when it's something so private. But I'm very happy to hear the news." May and her mother were now by the door, and the Countess held out her hand to Archer.
"Goodbye. Come and see me someday," she said. In the carriage, no one talked about the Countess, but Archer knew what May's mother was thinking. She did not approve of Ellen walking up Fifth Avenue with Julius Beaufort. And Ellen should know that a man who has just gotten engaged does not visit married women. That evening, old Mr. Jackson came to dinner with the Archers. Archer lived with his mother and sister, Janie, in West 28th Street, and Mr. Jackson was one of his mother's oldest friends. It was not long before the conversation turned to Ellen Olenska. Mrs. Archer was impatient to learn what she could about her son's future cousin. She was very happy about her son's engagement. A mother could not dream of a more perfect wife for her son than May. But she did not like the news of her son's engagement being mixed up with the arrival of that Olenska woman.
"We were relieved that May's cousin didn't go to the ball," said Mrs. Archer. "But she was seen by all of New York walking up Fifth Avenue this afternoon with Julius Beaufort,"
Mr. Jackson replied.
"Oh, dear," said Mrs. Archer. "But it's not surprising that poor Ellen doesn't know how to behave.
She had such a strange life with her Aunt Medora.
Why should she hide? Said Archer suddenly. She was unlucky to marry a terrible man, but I don't see why that should make her ashamed.
That's what the Mingotts are saying, said Mr. Jackson.
I don't always agree with them, said Archer, turning red. But Countess Olenska has had an unhappy life. That doesn't make her a bad person.
I hear that she wants a divorce, said Janey.
I hope that she gets one, cried Archer. These words fell like a bomb into the quiet dining room.
Mrs. Archer looked hard at her son, and Archer began to speak of something else. After dinner, Archer's mother and sister left the two men.
You know that the husband's secretary helped the Countess to get away, said Mr. Jackson. I heard that they were living in Switzerland together after that.
Archer felt his face turn red again. Well, why not? Women should be free as we are, he said. Mr. Jackson stretched his legs toward the fire and breathed out slowly.
Well, her husband appears to think the same. He isn't trying to get his wife back, he said after a moment.
Later, when he was alone in his library, Archer looked at the photograph of May on his desk and thought about the last few days. He expected the time after the announcement of his engagement to be one of quiet, hopeful thoughts of the future, but the arrival of Countess Olenska was bringing with it problems that he preferred not to think about. In his world, it was impossible for nice women like May ever to be free in the way that he meant. As a husband, it was his job to guide this innocent girl who knew nothing and expected everything. They lived in a world where the real thing was never said or done. So he had to hide his past from her. And, of course, she should not have a past to hide. May was not Archer's first love, but he could not feel ashamed of his past. He was no different from other young men who fell in love with the wrong woman and then saw their mistake. For Mrs. Rushworth, their love was never as important as it was for him, and for a while, his heart was broken. And when at last he met May, his mother was very relieved. A few days later, something terrible happened. Mr. and Mrs. Lovell Mingott invited their friends to a dinner to meet the Countess Olenska, and almost everyone said no. The only people who agreed to come were the Beauforts and Mr. Jackson. Everyone else replied that they were busy. As soon as Archer heard about this, he spoke to his mother, who went straight to Mrs. van der Luyden for help. The van der Luydens were one of the most superior and powerful families in New York, and even had English dukes and French counts for cousins. They preferred to live quietly and did not often go out because Mrs. van der Luyden was often ill. But soon after Mrs. Archer's visit, Countess Olenska received a card inviting her to dinner at the van der Luydens. Their cousin, the Duke of St. Austrey, was visiting from England, and they wanted to introduce him to their friends. At the van der Luydens' dinner, a few days later, Archer studied Countess Olenska from the other end of the table. He remembered her being a pretty little girl as a child,
who traveled the world with her parents. After their early deaths, it was her aunt, Medora Manson, who looked after her and brought her back to New York. Archer remembered the little Ellen in colorful clothes, dancing a Spanish dance and singing Italian love songs. Then Medora and Ellen went abroad, and no more was heard of them, until the news of Ellen's marriage to a rich and famous Polish count. Ellen was now nearly 30. She was thin and looked a little tired, but she was still beautiful. There was something quiet but strong about her, Archer noticed. She was the only young woman at the dinner, but she did not seem at all uncomfortable. Later, after dinner, Archer saw her talking to the English Duke of St. Austrey. Archer was surprised when, after a while, she stood up and came toward him. In New York, a woman did not usually leave one man to talk to another, but waited for the men to come to her. "Tell me about May," she said. But Archer did not answer her question. "Have you met the Duke of St. Austrey before?" he asked. "Oh, yes. We saw him every winter in the south of France," the Countess replied. "I've never met a more boring man." Archer laughed. He enjoyed meeting a woman who was brave enough to say that the van der Luyden's English Duke was boring. "May is a dear," she went on. "There's no girl as beautiful or intelligent in New York. Are you very much in love with her?" Archer laughed again. "I am, as much as a man can be." She smiled. "How wonderful. And your family didn't plan this marriage for you?" Archer was surprised. "Have you forgotten that marriages aren't made that way here?" "I'm sorry," she said. "I sometimes make these mistakes. I don't always remember that everything is good here, which was bad abroad." "You are among friends here, you know," he said suddenly. "Yes. That's why I came home. I want to forget everything else and become an American again, like the Mingotts and the Wellands and the Archers," she said, touching his arm very lightly. Just then, Mr. van der Luyden came over, and the Countess held out her hand to him. Archer stood up. "Tomorrow, then, after 5. I shall expect you," she said to Archer, surprising him once more.